14. Like when I had my skin removed, I went from a size 12 to a size 4.
Holy shit. That is so exciting in itself.
I couldn't, like the fact I could go shop at a normal store, like I couldn't. It was so overwhelming. I think I bawled my eyes out. I remember I was still in my binder at like Marshall's and I was like trying stuff on and I'm like crying. And my mom's like, don't buy it. You're still swollen. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, yeah.
It fits.
It fits for once. I don't have like the apron belly. Like it was crazy. So I had that done.
Hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome back to Our Sleeve Life Podcast. I'm your host, Mel, and today is a patient story, which you guys know I love these because they're so different from each other, but also a little bit the same. And this one is fun because she went from like being a bigger woman to now she's bodybuilding. Like, this is crazy. So I'm going to introduce you to Jessica Schock. Her handle is rny.journeyjessica, correct?
Journey, RNY underscore journey with Jess.
Journey with Jess. So you can find her there. Go follow her. Go check her out. And now let's get into your story, girl. Like, when did this start? Because, like, you've been doing so much stuff lately that I'm like, wait, hold on. When did you even start this process?
So I actually have a very long, like, love affair with bariatric surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a journey. I was in college, and I think I was in second year, and I remember hearing about it, and I signed up for it. Like, that, they do an intro session here. So you have to do the intro session, they tell you about everything, this is the cost, this is what life will be like after, everything. And I went to that with one of my best friends.
Nice.
And I sat in it, and I was like, I think I must have been 22 at the time. I was like, I can't do this. I'm like, and this probably was about 15 years ago. I remember the shakes were like $500 a week. And they're like, you might have to do shakes for a month. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, there's no way I can do this.
Oh, they scared the shit out of you.
Yep.
That's what they did.
They really did.
What made you even go check it out? Like, what was that feeling?
I can't remember. I think it might have, I do want to say something about like The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
I feel like reading something about that. What, like, and I saw it and I found it, or it might have been just one of the nights where I'm Googling how to lose weight and then it came up. Yeah. That's and fair. I went to it and I wanted to do it, but I'm like, I don't think I could. Like, and I'm happy I didn't because I don't think I had the mindset I did that I needed to be successful. But yeah, so that was my first experience.
Okay.
And then what would it have been? I was 29 when I had surgery. And I think about 2 years before that, I had my doctor put in the application. And then I was at like 240.
So the application's gone in and you waited 2 years?
Yes. Because
I
would get the call for your orientation session. And because I was so scared shitless from the last time.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's okay. I'll delay. I'm too busy with work. And at this time, I ended up getting a brain injury through work. So I was just like, yeah, any sort of functioning in adding to it, I was like, I can't do this. I went to my doctor's office and I was having health issues and she sat me down. She's like, okay, it looks like you have some sort of autoimmune disease, came back psoriatic arthritis. And she's like, but there's something else that I think is more concerning. And I was like, what is it? She's like, your CRP, which is like your elevation levels, all that stuff. She's like, it needs to be under 5 or, you know, you're at risk of a heart attack. And I was like, okay, what's mine? She's like, it's 65.
I was like, whoa.
And I'm like, that must be like from the autoimmune. She's like, no, this is because you're overweight. She's like, if you don't do something, you're going to have a heart attack in 5 years. And I was like, but I'm healthy. What do you mean? And she's like, you're not. I think that was the wake up call for me to be like, shit. And the next time they're like, okay, we have an orientation. I'm like, okay. Like, I took the time off work. I went to it. It was in the middle of the day. It was COVID, actually. I think I got the call November 2020. for the orientation, and I had surgery July 2021. But yeah, that was kind of my like, oh wow, I can't. And again, even from like putting in the application to surgery day, I gained another 60 pounds. So
oh wow. So what was your highest weight then?
Highest was 300. Okay. I did the shakes for I think 2 weeks, and I got down to I think 280 just like the day of surgery.
Wow. Just from the shakes, from the liver shrinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they still had to use a liver retractor. Do you know how mad I was when I read that report? I was like, man, all that, and you still had to.
It's annoying. It's like, oh, I put in all that work and right? I didn't shrink enough.
Yeah.
You sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Well, and that's understandable. And I'm happy that you went and got it done, because I want to tell you, heart attacks are not fun to have.
Yep.
I have not had one, but I have watched my dad have one. And it was the scariest thing. And he told me afterwards, it felt like an elephant was on top of him and that he couldn't move, couldn't get up. And it was just crazy ass pressure. And I would hate for you to have to go through that, ma'am.
Yeah. Like, I was having enough health issues then, and I was miserable. My everything hurt. So I was just like, oh wow. And again, putting myself through school, going to get my master's to be like a social worker and a counselor. And I'm like, here I am literally working my ass off. I'm working, I'm going to school, like, but I'm literally killing myself. What am I doing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I had to do a lot of work before surgery. I will say that.
And what does that mean?
Therapy.
You did therapy. Okay.
I through the process of like meeting the dietitian, meeting the psychologist, meeting the social worker and everything, I was like, I do not have a healthy relationship with food at all. And I realized that I found what my triggers were, and they're still my triggers now. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Yep. Well, so when you were seeing the therapist, is that when you realized that you have a relationship with food, or how you've always known that you've had a relationship?
I always knew, but I think I was in denial for a long time. Like, I was one of those girls, you know what? It's funny. I was one of those girls that was always like overweight, but I was at the club. I thought I was the hottest shit out there. Like, I think part of it was denial too, where I was like, I'm not 300 pounds. I don't look 300 pounds. And then people would be like, yeah, you don't look that at all. But then like, when I look back at it now, I was like, I was 300 pounds.
Yeah, you're like, no, I did, bitch. I totally did.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So have you always, like, I came out a big baby. So, like, I've always been big. Is that something that you can relate with, or that was?
Oh, yeah.
That
Since was I was a little kid, like, bullied all throughout, like, elementary school for being overweight. In sixth grade, I had to get my appendix taken out.
Okay.
And they found a tumor on it. And I was the 13th kid in the world to ever have this type of cancer. So doctors are like, lose weight, do all this stuff. So I ended up losing, I think at the time, 50 pounds. I think I was 200 at like 13, and I got down to like 150.
Okay.
Lost the weight, maintained it through most of high school. And then around like grade 12, first like university, it started to slowly come back. And then, after my head injury, 60 pounds in like 2 years. Yeah.
And you're going to have to explain to me what is this head injury?
Oh my God. Okay. So when I tell Rob, he laughs at me, but, I worked with kids. I worked, before I was a social worker, I was a child and youth worker. And one of my jobs was working with kids with disabilities. And I had a kid, I'll just say the full thing, and Rob will laugh his ass off and be like, I can't believe you put that out there on the internet. I worked with a girl who was blind, and she had a walking cane. And she was in an episode where she was really upset. I'm trying to work with her. She swung it back like this and hit me right across here.
Oh.
It was on Halloween, so I got to go to the hospital dressed as Miss Frizzle.
Frizzle.
Yeah. It was memorable. Like, yeah. And it was one of those things where, like, take a few weeks off work. So I took 2 weeks off. And I noticed, like, after a week and a half back, I was getting, like, migraines. I couldn't remember things. I got in a car accident. Like, I was like, something is off.
Yeah.
And I went back to my doctor, and she's like, no, you need to be off. You need to go through like brain rehab every. And I did. And it sucked. Like, it really sucked.
What is brain? Can you for this us that brutal. Don't know, like, what is brain PT?
I hated it. It was you had like the physical piece, because obviously like the head and neck were connected. So they were doing the physical, but like, freak, they'd make me memorize stuff, like play these dumb little brain games. Like, yeah. I hated it. That was the worst part. Yeah, that was the stuff I hated because I had really bad memory issues. Like, I remember once doing a form with the lady and she's like, when's your birthday? And I could tell her. She's like, but how old are you? And I'm like, I remember that was my like the scariest moment. I couldn't remember how old I was. And I'm like, this is my birthday, but I don't know the age. And I was like there for like, it was like a full blown meltdown.
Sure.
Yeah. It was terrifying, right? Like to go from someone who was a fully functioning, doing your day to day to like, oh my God, I can't remember where I parked my car at the mall or I can't remember like how old I, it was scary.
100%. I'm sorry you had to go through that. Like that is wild. So you have you going through college, right? You have you getting a head injury. You have this autoimmune disease with and then when you were younger, you had an appendix out with a tumor. You've really gone through it, girlfriend.
Yeah. Even after bariatric surgery, I just got in December diagnosed with Crohn's.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
My whole life when I was overweight, it was like IBS. You're just overweight. And then sure enough, they're like, oh, wait, it's Crohn's. I was like, cool. Could have known this years ago, but thank you. Yeah,
it's always been a rough
go. But yeah.
So you got, so in 20, you're 29 when you got this, right? That's what you said. Yeah. So what, like, do they choose where you go and get it done at? Or did you get
it? It's based off your postal code. So
tell people where you're at.
Toronto. So I was, I'm outside of Toronto now, but when I had surgery, I was like near downtown. So I was at Toronto Western Hospital, their bariatric program. Yeah. And I did it through there. It was like post-COVID-y trying to get back to normal times. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. I had to go in alone. I did spend one night.
Okay.
And then the next day my friend picked me up and he couldn't even come into the hospital. I had to, like a nurse brought me down to the front doors and he put me in his car and that was it.
Wow. Wow. And what made them choose R&Y over sleeve?
So I pushed for it, actually. I met with the surgeon. He's like, I'm thinking sleeve. I said, no, if I'm going under, we're doing balls to the walls. I said, I'm not going under again. I'm like, you're doing this? I said, I am not just doing a sleeve. I said, I want to do this once and I'm doing it right. He's like, okay.
All right.
And he was like, I thought he was going to fight me a bit. And he's like, you're 100% sure. I said, I am someone when I'm here and I commit to something, I'm doing it. And he's like, yeah, let's commit.
Good. Yep. Okay. I love that. I love that. I like that you're like a take charge kind of woman.
Yeah. If I'm doing, like, even with the bodybuilding, I'm like, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Like, all in, baby. Yep. Okay. So then you have surgery, you go home. What was that like for you? What was it like to know, like, hey, I have this all rerouted. Like, what are we going to do now?
First 5 days, I hated it. I regretted every decision. I was like, I should never have done this. This is so painful. Like, I couldn't even drink my protein drinks. I couldn't do anything. I regretted it. I was so miserable. But by day five, I was able to push through. And I was like, okay, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I can walk down my street. My mom stayed with me for a week. She helped out a lot. And then I had one of my friends. She stayed with me for a few days too. And during all this, I'm doing my master's. So I'm still writing papers. I will never forget. We had like a research paper done. Someone did their part wrong. And I just looked at my friend. I said, I'm doing it. She's like, you need to rest. I'm like, no, I'm just doing it. And it was a lot. I hated my life the first 5 days. But again, best thing I ever did.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happens in those first 5 days that it's very normal to have these regrets and frustrations. Oh, and I did too. I was just like, I remember being in the hallway and I was just like, what the fuck did I do to myself?
Yep.
Like, I really just did this. There's no turning back. And that was kind of the point. Just like you're saying, like, it's, you want to be one and done and just fucking let's ride this out. Let's go.
I was really lucky. I had a good support system. So my neighbor actually had bariatric surgery 10 years earlier. So thank God I had her. She's lovely. She was like walking me through everything, told me what to expect. I'd be like, I'm having this stomach pain. Is this normal? She's like, yes, you're fine. Like, she ended up having a blockage and all this stuff. So like, she made me very aware of like, this is what you need to know, what's going on with your body. This is kind of normal. This is when you could contact your clinic. But yeah, I will say it was probably my support system that got me through that first like really hard week because like you, I was like, what the hell did I just do?
It's very, very normal. Yeah. And like, how did it you know, progress. Like, you had to do the 2 weeks of liquid diet prior.
Yep.
And I believe off camera you said that they had to still use the retractor.
Yep.
So that's annoying.
I was mad. But, like, my first month, I think I lost another 20 pounds. Like, it was coming off. I bought myself, like, a knockoff Peloton. I did that every day. Like, I said, I committed to it. I was like, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do everything I can. I had such, like, again, such an amazing neighbor. Like, when I remember when I went into the soft foods and the puree, she, like, came over and we made a whole bunch of little ricotta bakes. And, like, yeah, it. I think once I got past that initial hump of, like, fuck, why did I do this? I was like, this is why I did it. And I was seeing results. I remember, like, a month and a half after surgery, going to the zoo with one of my best friends. I wasn't tired. I wasn't sore. I didn't feel like crap after. I was like, wow, like, this is what life can be like. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's such a whirlwind because you're like, I didn't know that this was going to change this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we just think, oh, the weight's going to be off. I'm going to be healthy. And then when there's all the non-scale victories around it that are, like, so huge.
Yeah. Like, I made a list and I think I've done everything off that list now.
Oh my goodness. That is incredible. So guys, make a list.
Make a list of, like, what you want. Like, once I lose weight, these are the things I've always wanted to try or always wanted to do. And I remember my last one was I think I saw Rob's post or something. And I saw it and I'm like, that's the last thing I'm going to do.
And then you're doing it. That's now so really crazy. It, yeah. Yeah. I want to touch base on the earlier stages real quick. You said that she would come over and help with purees and soft food stuffs, right? So I've had this question and it's just, I'm just so far removed. I can't remember all the puree things that I did. Can you tell me some of the puree stuff that you had?
I ricotta bakes were my big one, like the little ricotta cheese and then a little bit of marinara because of the protein and stuff. That was a really big one. I remember mashed potatoes, really big one. Trying to think. Yeah, it's been almost 5 years. Those are like the ricotta bakes. I don't know why. It's like a formed memory in my head.
You must have loved those. You probably had a lot of them.
That was another one. And yeah. I did struggle in the beginning. Like, I think my first 3 months, at least twice a week, I'd throw up because I'd eat something. It wouldn't agree. I couldn't eat eggs for the first year and a half. Like, I'd eat them and I'd get sick. I'd have a really hard time the first 6 months adjusting to food again. Mm-hmm. You know, like that feeling where it just feels stuck. I had that a lot.
Okay.
But no, like it was, honest to God, it was like learning food again. Like what
it is
now, what won't work. And like, remember the first time I had rice, I was like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Oh my God. The first time I had ice cream was traumatic. I was like, this is the stupidest thing. Like, why'd I do this? And yeah.
What do you mean? Why was it traumatic?
I was so sick, horribly sick. And I still, like, if I eat too much of a Ninja Creamy, I'm sick. If I eat too much Dairy Queen, I'm sick. Like, ice cream is the one food that still does not agree with me. I'm good with everything else now, but not ice cream.
That does suck. That does suck. But also a good one in a way, because you'll limit yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know, like, okay, I'm having like half of a kid's portion, so I'm not sick and I'll save the rest for later. Like, it really makes you learn your limits again. And like,
it does.
You don't have a choice, right?
Mm-mm. That's kind of what I liked about it. Like, with the sleeve is like, it took the choice out of it, which makes me, it made me like not so anxious about what am I going to eat? It's just the same shit over and over, which some people get annoyed with, but it's like, it's kind of comforting to know like, all right, I got the shakes. I know I'm going to have a little bit of steak today, a little bit of greens, a little bit of carbs and call it good. And most of the time I couldn't even get to the potatoes, like, because of the meat and veggies would be, you know. So it's just like, you really do have to treat it. I treated it like a baby tummy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Right? Because like after having Dylan, I was like, this is kind of how we did it with Dylan. If you think about it, like I breastfed for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and then we went to mushy foods and then we went to soft foods and then we went to regular foods. So it's like you're literally just a little baby right now.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. Yep.
So what are the other foods that you can't have anymore? So
it's ice cream right now.
It's just ice cream.
Pretty much all I can. Oh, anything with like a tough skin. Like I can't eat a lot of apples or peaches or nectarines. Like I can only have a little bit at a time or I have to remove the skin. Those are like kind of the things that I find I still have a hard time with. I can do carbonation.
Was that a big deal for you? Did you really want carbonation, or was that like not a problem?
I'm a diet drink person, like hardcore.
Hardcore, huh? What's your drink of choice? Is it Diet Coke?
I do love a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, like Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, so good. I'm looking for the Diet Dr. Pepper Creamy Coconut. It's not in Canada yet, and I just need it. I've heard it's in Oregon, apparently. This is what I've been hearing through my connections. Like, I see it here. I'm like, oh my God.
She's got a Dr. Pepper connections, guys. Yep. This is hilarious because I wouldn't know. Like, here's the deal is like, I'm three houses down from a 7-Eleven. So I should know, but I don't drink soda enough to know. I don't even drink Dr. Pepper. It wasn't even my jam. Sorry, lady. Not a fan.
It's so funny though, because like you meet people who have had the surgery. They're like, oh my God, I've never taken a drink of carbonation. And then there's other people like me that are like, I drink pop all the time, right? Like it's so different for everyone's journey too.
It really is. It's just like when, to me, it's like, it's not like you don't have to go so like cold turkey.
You don't.
Like, I mean, you do go cold turkey, but it can come back into your life, right?
Slowly, right?
Yep. So it's like, and it just really depends on what you want to do. Like I waited like about a year and a half, and it hurt. It wasn't fun. It was very like, I was full immediately, and then I had the burps.
Yep.
So like, you know, I just like, you have to just wait, because now it's not a problem. I still like, if I drink too fast of a soda.
Yes.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's when I, if you ever see me guys and anything I'm doing, if I like start like tapping on my chest, it's literally because there's air stuck and I'm like, let's get it out.
Like, it's the worst feeling. That and the foamies. I'm like, oh, they've just, oh, when I get them, I'm like, no. Like, I knew I'm like, crap, I overdid it. No.
Well, explain to people what the foamies is, because not all of us have it, but it does happen to people and it's normal. So don't think it's weird.
Yeah. Foamies for me was anytime I ate too much, it would like, I would burp, like a burping sensation, and it would just come up as foam. Or if I was sick, it was just foam. Like, it's the weirdest feeling. It's like a burp that's stuck constantly.
Yeah.
For me. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a stuck burp.
Stuck burp. That's fair. I think that's exactly how I would describe it. I've never really had it, but I've seen people have it like literally in the restaurant with me when they're like, oh my God. And they're just like covering their mouth and they like go to the bathroom and I'm like, what just happened? And they're like, I just got the foamies.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you poor girl. I'm so sorry. And it's more common in R&Y than it is in sleeve. Like, I've heard that's a thing. So just.
I had no idea. That's actually, that makes sense though, right?
Mm-hmm. Because like, it goes fast into your stuff. Yep. So it's like, ooh.
Did you get dumping ever or no?
I have. And it was ice cream. So.
See? It's so good. But I'm like, oh, like we put ourselves through the pain for it because it's so good.
Well, and that's the thing. I didn't know at first. Like, we went to the beach and, you know, every beach has like homemade ice cream of some sort. And I'm like, yes. So all I did was get one scoop of Rocky Road. And I was like, that should be fun.
Good choice.
Right. Oh, I love Rocky Road.
Me too.
And so I was eating it. And as we're driving home, I was like, my husband at the time was talking to me. And I was like, hold on. I don't even understand you right now. And he's like, what? And I was like, I'm trying to focus. I think I'm going to puke. I don't know. And then like, he's like, you're sweating. And I'm like, I know. He's like, do you want me to pull over? And I was like, I think I do. I don't know what's happening right now. And so he pulled over and I just like got out and just like got air on me and just started kind of like pacing a little bit. And it finally like went away. But it was like, son of a bitch, because it like heart racing.
Yes, it's a horrible feeling.
You feel like you can't focus on anything. You start sweat. It's like the flu for like 30 minutes. It's wild.
Yeah, that's
Okay. So ice cream is a killer. It's a known one for all of us. I don't think it matters what surgery you get. I think it's just so high content in fat. It's like in sugar.
Fat, the sugar. I know a lot of people even before surgery that were like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you like that?
No, I don't think so. I can handle it. I get the bloat. I don't get like I just get the horrible bloating. Yeah.
Thank God. Right.
I did before surgery, like brutal, like absolutely horrible. I was like, I'm lactose intolerant. I have IBS. Like, it was horrible. And then after surgery, it was really weird because my stomach like did a reset. Any digestive issues I had were gone.
Yeah.
Now they're back. But yeah, I was like, what? This could have caught, like, could have cured everything years ago. It was, that was really interesting to see how my body just like reset.
Yeah. And that's what it should do. And so that's part of the whole like thing is that like it resets your metabolism. It helps your ghrelin and your leptin because like guys, ghrelin's the one that is you're hungry, and leptin is the one that tells you that you're full. And you can actually mess with those to where like, so if you don't feel any hunger at all, like throughout the day, even with your GLP-1, like because I am on a GLP-1 and sometimes so I don't feel hungry.
It actually helped my Crohn's.
Yeah. But that means your leptin is out of whack a little bit if we don't feel hunger.
Huh.
So, which is a hormone thing, which you have to get all your stuff in line. Yep. It's a whole process. So
the good blood work process. Yep.
And yeah, how did you do with your appointments? Did you go to all of your appointments afterwards?
Yep. I did. I was really super dedicated to them. I followed through. I remember actually hired a bariatric dietitian for a while.
Cool.
Myself, because I had the benefits. And there was a point, I think around like, I want to say like 7 or 8 months after surgery, where I was craving foods.
Okay.
And I remember getting the advice from someone who had surgery. And I was like, man, like this is what I was doing. And I still do it. I don't care. I would get a Timbit with my coffee because in my head, and like a, what is it? The Dunkin' Donut, like the mini donuts. The little, what are they? Donut holes, I guess there.
Yeah.
I get one of those small ones with my coffee or a tea every morning because I was like, this satisfies my craving enough. I don't need an entire donut. I just need a Timbit. And I remember someone who had bariatric surgery and she's like, but imagine how great it would be to not eat that for a week and you'll be skinnier. And I was like, no, that is not the mindset we are going to. And I hired a dietitian and he worked at another bariatric program. And I told him like that really upset me and stuff. And he's like, this is what I'm going to say. After bariatric surgery, you are still going to crave everything you had before. He's like, what would you rather do? Have your one little Timbit every morning or get so triggered because you denied it for yourself for a week that you go out and have a binge? And that was like a snap moment for me where I was like, oh, wow. Like even now, like in prep, I'm ratting myself out.
No, it's good.
My coach is going to watch this and be like, this is why you gained 2 pounds this week. You did it to yourself. But today, Crumble released my two weaknesses, anything cheesecake, anything cake batter flavored. They have a cake batter cheesecake donut here this week or a little cookie. I got one. I don't care. I ate half of it. My family the other half, but like I was like, I've waited for this, I'm not gonna deny it and then be so mad that I denied myself for it.
Yeah, just get a little taste.
Something else. Like I personally, and even as a therapist, I don't believe in the whole like you should never eat those foods again. It's like, no, you're going to eat them, you're going to be exposed to them, you just have to have a better relationship with them, right? Or yeah,
I mean, really, it's the relationship piece. And if you don't want to ever have them in your life again, that's okay too. I want you guys to know it's just your choice, whatever you're comfortable with. Just know, but you're going to have these cravings.
Yep.
And you're going to have to talk to yourself, whether do we do this or do we not do this?
Yep.
And I am a proponent to say I did a lot of fuck it's in year 7 to 8 and Melanie gained 50 pounds in a year.
Yep.
So it's, and then I had to readjust and go back to what I know is what we're supposed to be doing, and did it the damn thing and got on a GLP-1 6 months after I started the basics again, and then realized, oh, you're insulin resistant and you're like, I was 37 turning 38. I'm 39 now. So it's really like my hormones have changed.
Yep.
Everything's changing. And that's the one thing that's interesting that Dr. Abebus said on a recent episode, where your cells, you know, generate and change all the time. He's like, Melanie, when you got surgery 10 years ago, you're technically not even the same person you are today. And that's on a cellular level. He's like, because of all the regeneration that happens. And I'm like, oh my God, this makes, like, it was just, I don't know, it like was like a big click in my head of like, oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
This makes more sense also why some years were great. And, you know, like our bodies are doing what they're supposed to be doing and some years aren't because we're getting older. Like it's just nothing we can do about it. So it's like, oh, we just have to adjust as it goes. you can't just be on the same, you know, regimen that you started with in year one. Like, you know, like what'd they give you? Like, I was under 1,000 calories. So
I think I was under, 1,000 or like 1,200 was my max allowed or something. And I remember tracking my food. And now if I think of that, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, there's no way I'd go crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot. And what you said, like the whole, like, it changes based on where you are in your, that's anything in life, right? Like, you're not the same Mel you were at 20. And if you were doing the same things at 20 that you do now, they might not serve you. It's the
same.
They
wouldn't. Yeah.
They wouldn't. Right? It's like the same with our, like, what we learn. They're giving us the basic core skills and you take that out. And whether you're 3 years out, a year out, 15 years out, like, it's those core skills that keep you doing well, right? And sometimes, yeah, I've been there. I've had fuck it's where I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, this is a little out of control. Like,
yeah,
why did I do it? And that's for me where I said, like, knowing my triggers was a lot of the work where I knew, okay, why did I say fuck it so much this week? Because I had a stressful week and I didn't plan my meals. Or because, like, my big things where I will, like, I know I've been like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, is usually because I had a plan and something didn't go as I planned and I had to improvise last minute. Like, cooked something, I think last week, I don't know what the hell I put in it, it tasted disgusting. And I was like, shit, I work later tonight, I need to go get myself dinner. So I had to quickly, like, on the fly, I'm like, what do I find that's under these macros and would fit in this and this? And like, it was pressure. And I was like, fuck it, just get something. Like,
just eat at this point.
Yeah, just eat, right? And I ate a sandwich and I was like, you know what? It happens. It is what it is. But that's where, like, I definitely think knowing that, okay, if I don't plan and I'm stressed and I don't have a backup or something, I will not follow through.
And that's a lot of us. Like, it's so hard. No, it just, every day can be something a little bit different. Like, I was telling you how my week was and it's just so random. Right? The shit that happens, because people are like, how are you doing? I'm like, that's a loaded question, because, like, technically I'm fine, but there's shit that's happening around me. It's kind of like, it's not directly at me, but it's family and friends that are next to me. And it's just like, I'm just along for the ride to help and be supportive. But it, like, it does affect you. It changed, like, yesterday I changed my whole routine by going up to OHSU. I was pissed because I drank my last protein shake on Sunday. And so it's Monday and I was like, son of a bitch. So I was like, I ran the 7-Eleven, got the protein shake, right? Put a couple dive bars in my backpack. I love dive bar. And then I took all my pills real quick. And I was like, all right, like, I got my vitamins in, got my normal stuff going, because, like, I didn't know when I was going to eat next. Like, that was literally the deal. Like, when you go into a hospital scenario and it was an hour drive to get there, you don't know, like, what that's going to look like. So you're like, you got to wing it, right? And so I winged it as much as I could, but I ended up having a slice of pizza. And, like,
it happens.
That's what it was.
I tell people, even as a therapist, don't focus on what you can't control. Just focus on what you can.
Yeah.
Because that's the difference. If you're spending your time focusing on the stuff that you can't control, like, it's not going to help you. It's not going to serve you. It's just going to make you more anxious, more overwhelmed. Like, focus on what you can.
Yeah, I agree. And you said earlier that, you know, you did therapy for a while. So did they make you do that, or is that just your choice? Because, so, like, in America, it's kind of loosey-goosey with that.
Yeah.
One.
So here you have to meet with a psychologist or a social worker once. They do an assessment to see if you're ready to proceed.
Yes.
For some of them, you just meet with them once and that's it. I just met with them once.
Okay.
And it's because she's like, yeah, you are in this for the right reason. But I knew, I'm like, I need to talk to someone. Like I said, I'm someone that wants to do it the best I can. So I was like, I need to work with a therapist to figure out some stuff. And it was helpful for me too, because even though, like, I was having the surgery, it was still scared. I was depressed, like, from everything that happened. Like, it was a lot. So I just had to do that work. And I've seen people that it sucks because they didn't do the work and they're not successful, or they are for a bit, but then life happens, right? Like we just said, it's really hard. And I tell people a lot, like, the mindfulness of it too. Like, being mindful of what am I eating? How much am I eating? What is going on around me that's making me want to eat? I know if I am booked back to back with clients, I won't have any hunger. If it's a slow day and I'm bored, I have all my food gone by like one and I'm like, shit, I have 3 more hours left. Like, I know. Yeah.
Well, yep. And I remember when the COVID hit and I was working from home.
Oh,
some reason I decided to put my whole setup in the kitchen.
Oh, God.
Why did I do that? So that was frustrating because the fridge is literally talking to you. And anytime you have you're down, like you're saying, like a bored moment, it's slow. You're just like, ooh, what can I get?
Right?
What's going on over there? And it's so funny. It's like every time I open the fridge, I'm like something had changed or something. Like I know what's in there and I just keep looking anyway. It's so ridiculous. So I had to move. It did take me a full month to realize like I totally just like sabotaged myself.
Yeah.
But then I moved into an actual like bedroom for an office and everything. Like my kid moved from upstairs to downstairs and then I got his old room and then we were golden. But it was like, I can't believe, like, you just do shit. You don't realize that how it's going to affect you.
No recollection. You're like, oh, like after it's like that check-in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the mindfulness and the mindset is huge. Oh, yeah. And you said that you learned what your trigger foods are. So do you mind sharing that with us and how, like, kind of how'd you figure that out?
Yeah, there was a few things. So it was more like what will trigger me to either binge eat,
okay,
or what are the foods that I know I don't have control over and I need to work on it. So like my trigger situations, and I didn't have them on my phone for about 3 or 4 years, was any sort of like food delivery things.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Anything like that. If it's not convenient and it's not easy, I will not do it. And if it like a trigger, if it's something isn't planned. So if you were like, okay, like go to work and then come home and figure out what dinner is, I can't do that because I will be too stressed, too overwhelmed, and I won't stick to what I should be. So every like Saturday, I go through my flyers, I make my meal plan, I write it out, I do my grocery list, and I go. Like every Wednesday, I go get a rotisserie chicken and I prepare it for the rest of my week for lunches. Like it was that knowing like if this was my worst thing I'd do. I'd work all day. I'd be exhausted. I'd be tired. I'd come home. I wouldn't want to cook. I'd spend a crap ton of money ordering Dairy Queen, Popeyes, like all this stuff. And I would binge eat. But also, if I don't actually eat all day, I notice I'll binge eat at night.
Yep.
So that was one thing. Wasn't really bringing a lunch and stuff like that to work. Just these snacks. So that was a big one for me. My trigger foods, and they still are, my big one is chips.
Okay. Is there a particular chips or just any chips? Okay. Typically there is.
Miss Vicky's salt and vinegar or All Dressed?
I don't know what those are. I'm sure people are listening.
Well, they must be Canadian. Oh my God. They're like, oh, okay. When you have to try them. They are like the best. It's like malt vinegar, salt and vinegar.
Okay.
And then All Dressed, I know I think they're a Canadian thing.
There might be.
Yeah, they are. I think they are. They're like them and ketchup.
What's All Dressed up?
It's like salt and vinegar, ketchup. It's like every flavor combined. It's so damn good.
Okay.
And they have a spicy one now. Like if I see that, I could eat I still could eat an entire bag in a sitting.
I believe that you lit up when you were talking about
like,
it.
Like I love, like that's crazy. Yeah. To me, it's like the fact that I know these are my foods. If I had a bag downstairs, it'd be gone. Like,
oh, 100%.
I don't keep them in the house. That's why. Like, it's that bad.
Okay.
Those are my foods.
I mean, that's at least you know that. I think knowing is half the battle. And guys, when you're listening to this, like, she is a few years out. She's done a lot of work. I am 10 years out. I've done a lot of work. It does take work for this to work. Like, I don't know how else to, like, explain it. Like, you're not... The whole surgery and us taking GLP-1s is not a quick fix. It's it's just a tool. It's just something that helps a little bit by little. Because like the surgery taught me habits. It taught me portion size. It taught me measuring, like all of it. Yep. Like, and that's why I get a question like, would you, if you had a GLP-1, do you think you still would have done bariatric surgery? And it's like, that's a hard question, but I do think I would eventually still have done it.
I think I would have too.
Yeah. Because I need that permanency.
Yep.
I need to know. I need to know that feeling, because no one knows that feeling like we do when we get full.
Yeah.
Like, right. Yep. And it's like, it is to the point where, like, I was doing, and people go back and watch this on Instagram, because it was every Thursday for like a few years we did taste testings. And there's a few times where I taste tested too much and it was just in my throat. And so we were telling people, stand up, put your hands up, walk around. Like, that's what you have to do. Yeah. And I do believe if I didn't have that, I would probably regain. Like, because even at 10 years, I still get the fullness cues.
Yeah, and it's scary. And I've talked to people who are like a year out, year and a half, and they're like, I don't feel like it's not as intense as it used to be, right?
Right.
And it is scary. Do not get me wrong. It is terrifying. And there will come a point where you will be so far out that you're like, oh, I feel normal again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary, right? Because it means you're in control. We talked about it. We liked it because we had that restriction. It was forced on us. And it's scary. And that's where like doing the work is important too, because you're going to be in control again. And it is a terrifying thing, but knowing and doing the work beforehand, it helps you. And I agree. Like, I still would have done the surgery no matter what. Like, there's times like, why didn't I do this earlier? But then when I look and I actually logically think, I'm like, I was not mentally ready. I don't think I would have been as successful.
No, I talked about it for 2 years before I did it. So that's why when you said that you waited, I get it. Like, I talked about it to people all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Like, that's going to be great. And then I would just push it off. And then finally, like, dad died from cancer at 59. My brother's 400 pounds. I'm 300 pounds. Like, I was just like, we're going to have to do something.
There's a wake up. I find every person I talk to, they have a wake up moment.
Yeah.
Like, they all have one. And my best friend, funny enough, who sat through the orientation with me for bariatric surgery, she's almost 2 years out now.
Oh, yay!
She had it. Yeah, so I had it. She kind of followed through. And I remember one day, she'd tell me, like, I don't think I could do it. I don't think. And then she just started asking more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she's like, I think I'm going to do it. I'm like, you should. And I remember she's like, I saw how, like, successful, like, seeing you do it made me feel like, okay, I could do this. Like, it's real. It's not something that you hear about that isn't unattainable.
It's not.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you did it. I'm so happy your friend did it. Like, that's incredible. So when did you go from like, all right, I'm a bariatric patient, now I want to do bodybuilding? Because that just doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. It does not. I have had two skin removal surgeries.
Okay. Wait, how much have you lost? I guess we should start there.
From my lowest, which is like when I did summer shredding, I've lost 170.
Damn. Good job, girlfriend. Okay. And so you had plastics.
Yes. So I went for my first consult. And when I had my first consult, I was 185.
Okay.
And I remember the surgeon's like, I want you to do this when you were at like your like best. So he recommended a GLP for me. And I went on it and I lost like another 45 pounds.
Wow.
I think when I had surgery, I was like 145. So no, about 40 pounds, 40 to 45 pounds. Had my first one, but I had to go in for a revision to a fleur-de-lis because I just had a tummy tuck. And I also had a hernia. And then I had a whole bunch of skin removed from my breasts and them lifted.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And I know I'm very fortunate to have that. I worked two jobs to do it. I literally was killing myself. Like, but for me, it was... And I know a ton of people, you don't feel like you belong in your body. I was on the scale being like 160 and 70, all this stuff, but I was wearing size 14.
Right.
Like when I had my skin removed, I went from a size 12 to a size 4.
Holy shit. That is so exciting in itself.
I couldn't, I could go shop at a normal store. Like I couldn't, it was so overwhelming. I think I bawled my eyes out. I remember I was still in my binder at like Marshall's and I was like trying stuff on and I'm like crying and my mom's like, don't buy it. You're still swollen. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, yeah,
it fits
for once. I don't have like the apron belly. Like it was crazy. So I had that done. And then I signed up before our honeymoon. So It was August 2024. This great guy named Rob Raffanen posted in one of the bariatric groups about his like transformation, doing RBT, the radical body transformation. And I was like, this was the last thing on my list. I ended up just signing up. And I remember at one point, Rob posted, if anyone's interested and has any questions, let me know. Let's join a Zoom call. Me and one other girl joined the Zoom call. And he answered all these questions for us, all this stuff. I ended up hiring a coach in December, and I worked with her all the way up till RBT. And then, like, the few weeks leading up to RBT, I got really close with Rob. Rob is my coach now. But yeah.
But you did the call with Rob.
Yeah, no, it didn't start that way. So what happened was I hired a coach that was in all these bariatric groups.
Nice.
Someone, like, they recommended her. I hired her. It was great. She is very successful as a bikini athlete. Just didn't align with the bariatric stuff for me.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about Rob is he got it. Like, he just got it. And so sure enough, I signed up. I started going to the gym like 4 days a week. Back to the basics of like weighing my food, tracking everything. And I wasn't doing that at that point. I had stopped doing that after a year of surgery. Wasn't weighing stuff. Like, it was kind of like, okay, let's see how I do. And I kept losing. So I was like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, you can trust yourself now. Like,
yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It's a huge thing. Mm. And so then did RBT. Yeah, had Mama Rob, you, Shay, Anna, like Arthur, everyone.
Corinne, it was so amazing, guys.
It was amazing. Like, I cannot talk about how great it was. All of us there. And I stepped on stage, totally like screwed up my routine. I know I did. And I do it every time I step on stage. Does not matter how many times I do it, I will forget something. I remember like Rob was like Mama Rob. He was cheering for everyone and stuff. And I walked off the stage and he's helping me off the stage. And I looked at him and I was like, I just did it and I need to do this again. Like, I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Well, Rob's like, you get to go it again for another category. So I did it again and all this stuff. And then Anna, we're the twins. Like, she's my American twin. I'm her Canadian twin.
Yes.
She is like we're literally same job. We are born in like 12, I think like, no, not even like 10 days apart or something. Like, it's crazy. And it's funny because I saw Anna in my category and we were both stalking each other on social media, but didn't want to message each other. And then Rob was like, Anna's stalking you. I'm like, oh, I'll just message her then. I'm like, hi, here, you're creeping me too. And then here we are.
We're both creeping on each other, but we won't say anything. Yeah. That is so funny. And so, for people that are listening, so Rob is waiting in vain on Instagram. And then Anna is Anna.banana.
Yes.
On Instagram. And by the way, she doesn't like bananas. So it's quite hilarious.
You know that? I'm going to call her that one.
100%. Because I asked her, I was like, oh, do you like bananas? And she goes, actually, I don't. I hate that.
That's
and
I'm
like,
so funny. I got her a custom-made Christmas ornament and it was a banana with her name on it. So
she'll
like bananas.
She'll probably, because of that, love it. But yeah, she doesn't eat bananas.
That's hilarious. But
so
funny. I remember we did RBT, so I came in first for the lifestyle, which is, it's based on like your story and the overall transformation. And then for fit, I came in second, which is a little bit of it is based on your physique. How much muscle you have? How do you look? Had this like crazy rush, and I'll never forget, like that night, Anna's like, I'm doing this competition called Summer Shredding in Toronto, like blah, 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 all this stuff telling me about it. And I'm like, calm down. I just stepped off stage. Let me do this. The next morning, I will not. You guys were out and I texted her at 10 a.m. And I'm like, so I'm doing Summer Shredding Toronto with you. Rush you get. It is such a feeling that is so amazing. Honestly, doing this has made me like, one, the health issues I have, like, I feel like not gaslighted, because when they're like, but are you? I'm like, yes, I work out 4 days a week. I track all my food. I don't do not blame it on that. Because again, the whole thing is when you're overweight, it's because you're overweight, right? Like, that's what you hear. So all this has made me like more definitely in touch of my body and my health.
Yeah.
And also like these competitions give me something to drive myself to work for, to push myself. Yeah. And then did summer shredding. And I, I won first for my category, and then I won women's all over transformation, like all overall transformation in Toronto.
So exciting. Congratulations.
It was crazy. Like I still to this day, like my trophy's up there. There it is. Had the worst imposter syndrome.
I'm like, sure.
I even told Rob, I'm like, I shouldn't have won. There was women that were more muscular than me. Like, why did I win? Why me? Like I had an identity crisis. It was really bad. And Rob was like, you're a therapist. Get your shit together. But then at the same time, he like talked to me. He's like, but you won because they like you are the people that when like they think of what a journey, what a transformation looks like, you're what they want to see too, right? Like they want to see the everyday person who put in this hard work and who has struggled and yeah, like
and is here and you are willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I want you to explain to people what kind of workouts are you doing for this stuff?
So I do 4 days a week in the gym. I do 2 upper body, 2 lower body. Rob has added cardio. I hate cardio with a passion. I'm like, cut my food. I will not do cardio, but we're doing cardio. And that's just closer to competition. But yeah, I'm in the gym 4 days a week and I won't lie. It's been hard, especially with like the Crohn's diagnosis. I was in the hospital, at the end of January and I really struggled with that because I'm like, oh, again, my routine's totally screwed up. What do I do? There were a few points where it's like, do I quit? Do I keep going? And it was for me, I was like, no, this motivates me because I have been struggling with my medications aren't working. It's been rough the past few months, but this is what gets me getting out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
like
good.
Otherwise, what? I'm going to sit in bed in pain and be miserable? No, I'd rather do my best, go to the gym, even if I'm not lifting as heavy as I was before, at least it's something.
At least you're lifting.
Right?
Like that's the point nowadays. It's like, as long as you're, at least you're moving your body, at least you got to the gym, at least like you are measuring things, like you're doing the thing. When it comes to Crohn's disease, can you explain to them like, what is that exactly? And then what made you get into the hospital for them to actually diagnose this?
So this is another funny story. So Crohn's disease is inflammation of like, and so I might be a bit wrong here. I'm still new to the diagnosis, but inflammation of like your colon, your intestines.
Okay.
So mine are inflamed currently. I have a few spots where it's flared up. What happened for all this is 2 weeks after RBT, I ended up in the hospital and they're like, you're like, no offense, you're full of shit. And I was like, yeah, I know. Cool.
No, literally.
Yeah, literally. And I'm like, okay. They're like, this will work. It wasn't working. I was like, this is weird. So my doctor is like, lower your GLP dose. I did. And I went completely off of it. More havoc came. So she's like, okay, go back on it. Like it was really, and then I was like, fuck. Oh, one summer shredding, 3 days later, Anna brought me all this great food. Goodles mac and cheese. No hate for Goodles. I think it was my own fuck up. I ate some and Rob's like, you're going to pay for that. I did. I was in the hospital that night.
Whoa.
Because you're in prep, you're eating so clean. And then I added in these fucking carbs that have a shit ton of fiber. My body lost it. And that is where the doctor, the ER is like, this isn't just you're backed up. Like, he's like, there's something wrong. And I'll never forget, Rob and I were so proud because I had to have a CT done. And it said on the CT report, unable to see like full intestinal tract as there's no abdominal fat. Rob's like, I know that sucks for the results, but that's badass. I was like, right?
No abdominal fat. Fuck yeah.
See, it's so funny.
Non-scale victory, baby.
Like, feeling my stomach. And he's like, I think he's like, he looked at me. He's like, do you work out? I was like, yeah, why? He's like, okay. He's like, I can't tell if like your stomach's distended or if it's your abs. I was like, it's my abs. So like, it was so funny. But they were like, something's wrong. Sure enough, I get to a gastrointestinologist in December. He's like, let me do a colonoscopy. I'm like, no, I've had like 3 of them. They're all just going to say IBS. I trusted him. He did it. And he's like, you've Crohn's. Like, what? He's like, it's mild. but you have it. He's like, I'm going to do the biopsy. And it confirmed it too. But it made sense. January of 2025, all my psoriatic arthritis medication just stopped working. We didn't know why. Yeah, right? So joints were inflamed. I was miserable. Like, I still sometimes can't wear, I can't wear my wedding ring because it doesn't fit because my hands are swollen. My doctor's like, I have no idea what's going on. It made sense because I was on too low of a dose to fight everything that's going on. Yeah.
Lovely.
So now it's trying to figure out medication. Like, I'm allergic to my newest one. So we're back to square one. Yeah. It's been a journey, but it's definitely made me thankful that I started the fitness part because what I'm eating is what I should be. So I know, like, if I'm flaring, I'm like, it's not because, you know, I ate something shitty or something. I know it's because I'm in a genuine flare. And it was funny because when I did bulk and I got to eat a little more freely, I was dying. Like, I was suffering. It was bad. And it's funny, this lifestyle of measuring, being really more diligent, eating cleaner has actually helped me with my symptoms a lot.
Well, and that's what they say. And I mean, the doctors tell us this and yeah. for a reason to eat. If the cleaner you eat, the better you're going to feel.
Yep.
And they go hand in hand. And it's just because we have too much processed food.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, to feed all of us in North America, like, you're going to, like, you have to do things that are differently. And now we're finding out, you know, like, they're tying, like, dementia to sugar.
Yep.
It's just, you have to be more, you have to read the labels.
You do, like, lab grown meat. Like, it's scary.
Yeah. It's like, what? And we don't even know what that's going to do. Like, that's the biggest problem. And we are in America and Canada. Like, we've all of these businesses have really hurt us in the long run.
They make, like, money on us being sick.
Yeah, they make money on us being sick 100%. The food, like, they all work together so that way they can just keep churning money. And it's insane because they're putting sugar in random shit in our foods. Like,
yeah.
Our hamburger buns should not have sugar, but it does. Like, why does it have? It has almost as much sugar as, like, a cake or something. It was, like,
it's
stupid.
Thank God. Like, that's why I'm happy I track. Like, I read my food labels. I actually see what's in my food.
Yeah. And if you can't read the label, then that means, like, one, you probably shouldn't be eating it because they're putting in things that you have no idea what it is. And that's a problem. And also the inflammation in our bodies. Like, it's huge to get your inflammation down as much as possible because that helps with just longevity of life. That helps with being sick all the time. It just really helps your body just have this really strong immune system.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for those that do have autoimmune diseases, it's so much more important for you guys to eat clean than ever. Because I know from my friends that have it here, it's like, when they have carbs, it's like a whole thing.
Yes, that's the thing. Like, I will, and I think, I had to, it's a teeter totter at the end of the day. I'm like, I have to have a little bit because if I don't have any and then I shock my system, that's worse. So I try to have more, like, cleaner carbs, if that makes sense. But no, that's a huge one. When I did this the first time, I completely cut out, like, your traditional carbs. And I remember the first time I ate bread, I was texting Rob and I was like, what's wrong with me? He's like, you haven't had carbs in 6 months. He's like, this is going to be rough.
Yep. Yeah. And what do you consider clean carbs? I'm excited.
So, like our potatoes, our sweet potatoes, our rice, quinoa, like some bread. I eat bread. I eat cereal. I love Rice Krispies. That is my go-to. Like, I love that late at night. Like, that type of stuff. I had a crumble cookie today. Like, I'm still going to eat that, like, at the end of the day. But, like, I find, like, I try to eat the stuff that's a little less processed. Like, my bread, I try to go get it, like, freshly baked or something, like, bakery opposed to, yeah. And even, like, I miss bagels. I ate them. I had one a day every day during bulking when I had to put on the weight. I miss my bagels.
Oh, bagels. Those are good.
Another one. Yep.
It's kind of funny. Every time I travel, I get a bagel. And I don't know why. But, like, I don't have it at home. I don't go out and get them. But when I travel, I was like, well, I get into after TSA, I'm like, all right, time for my bagel.
That's exactly what I did on my flight home from Houston from the championships. I'm like, I need something to eat. I'm like, bagel with cream cheese. That's what I want today. Like, it was,
yep. Yeah. And then in my head, I'm like, there's some protein in the cream cheese. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
There is a little bit of protein in your bread. It's like a couple grams. I don't care. As long as
I have protein bread, I see it everywhere. But I'm like, there's not that much of a difference if you actually look at it.
I know. It's just the label. Yeah. It's so funny. So for those that don't know, you actually dated your husband while you were going through all of this. So how did that work?
So funny enough, Lorenzo, I remember the first time we started chatting, my husband Lorenzo, we was literally like 3 weeks before I was supposed to have surgery. And I was like, hey, like we were talking, we met on a dating app and stuff. And I said, I'm just letting you know, like I'm going to be having surgery in a few weeks. So, like if you want to go out on a date, like time limited here, dude. He ghosted me. He ended up texting me, like, it's funny because we ended up matching again on a dating app a few months, well, like 6 months or 7 months later. I was almost down 100 pounds by that point. Mm. No, I was. I definitely was. I was under. Yeah. And I texted, like, I saw him and I matched with him. I'm like, remember me? He's like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I was like, yeah, you better be. Like, I was like, yeah. Like, I was like, fuck this guy. Like, you remember me? He's like, yeah, I do. He's like, I was going through my own stuff. I didn't handle it well, but I'd like to actually take you out. So it was so funny because the photos he matched with me at, I was like 300 pounds. And then he saw me in person. And I think I was down to like 200 at this point. So it was very interesting. So yeah, totally went on a date. And I'm like, this isn't going to go anywhere. And I married him.
And let alone, yeah, you're married to him.
Yeah,
so
it was like, he's been there through so much. So he saw me lose like an additional like 70 pounds. And then he was with me for my skin removal surgeries. We got married, like, and now, funny enough, through this, he does sports, so he does Dragon Boat, and this has definitely made him, like, motivated. So he's lost, like, I think 25 or 30 pounds himself now. He started tracking his food. He's much more conscious. Like, if I'm eating something, like, he's more mindful now. He even said, he's like, I didn't even realize it was that bad. I was like, yeah, right? Like, there's so much. So he tracks his food. We don't buy certain things anymore in the house.
Good.
Yeah. So it's even like this whole thing has helped him too. Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what's interesting, like, is you first, you know, saw him on the dating app, got ghosted, but then like 7 months go by. And I wonder if you didn't actually have the surgery, would you have been on the apps and would you have matched with him again? Like,
probably, but like, I don't think I'd be where I am now in the sense of like,
right?
Not, and I say this to him all the time. I'm like, would you still love me if I was still at 300 pounds? He's like, yeah, like he, and I get it. But you always question that, right? I do it all the time. Like, even like, cause again, I was losing weight and I was going on dates and stuff like that. And I'm like, would they have liked me when I was like 40 pounds heavier? Would they have liked me then? Like, it's so wild to see it. And I'll never forget the first time I got like skinny privilege, where I was in line at Starbucks, a guy in front of me bought my drink and the guy behind me bought me a fucking $20 gift card.
Yeah, baby.
And I'm like, what? Like, I was dating him at the time, like super early on. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? She's like, it's because like you're noticed. And my mom even said, she's like, people look at you. And it's such a fuck because like when I was 300 pounds, I didn't want to be seen. Mm-hmm. Or I felt like I had to be out there more because I'm like, oh, I'm the bigger girl. I have to have the personality, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's crazy. I still think he would be with me, but I
do
don't
too.
Know where I would be. Like, I can't even imagine. I actually can't.
Right? Because like your health was just under attack.
And he struggles now seeing me. Like, it makes him so angry that he's like, I don't get it. You're so... You do everything right, yet you have all these health problems. I'm like, yeah, it shows you it's not always weight, right? Like,
it's
sometimes
not.
It's just other shit that sucks. Like, it is what it is. And yeah, it's, and I see it even with him. Like, it's really funny. He makes fun of me because I had sleep apnea at 300 pounds and I have even worse sleep apnea at 130 pounds. Like, I remember being so excited that it would go away and it didn't. But like, he even sees it too, like for himself, he's like, oh, wow. Like, I even said to him, I'm like, you've lost 30 pounds. Like, you don't snore as much as you used to. Like, he sees how it has an impact.
Well, I think that's what's good too, is like, that's how you know you're with someone you should be with, is that like, you guys are both getting better together.
Yeah.
And it shows you that you don't realize how bad someone else's attitude or the way that they live can really affect you. Because my ex-husband was like a junk food junkie, and he would bring anything into the house except for the one, like there's few things I'm like, that cannot come in. And that's chocolate chip cookies. Cannot have chocolate chip cookies or Melanie will eat all of them. I become a cookie monster. But he still would be like, I'm going to order a crumble. Do you want something? You know, like, hey, I'm stopping at Taco Bell. Do you want your favorite stuff? And it's like, it's so hard, one, to say no, right? And then they always ask, are you sure?
And I've learned a lot because I hear this so much. I'm like, it's their way of expressing that they're caring and thinking about you. It just doesn't work to where you are right now in your life. So tell them you need to show it a different way.
Well, what I did to him, because I realized it was like, I said no once, it's a no. And he's just like, what's, he came home once and was like, what's going on with that? I go, I don't think you understand how hard it is for me to tell you no in the beginning. So I really don't like having to tell you a second time no. It has nothing to do with you. It's more me. And I'm afraid when you ask the second time, I might say yes. Like that's the deal. And I had to tell that to him and my kid Dylan, because Dylan would go next door to 7-Eleven and they all know my favorite is Hershey bar with almonds. And so sometimes I'd come home and there's just one there.
One sitting there.
You know? And I'm just like, oh, I love you guys so much, but like, I can't have this in the house. Like I will eat the whole king size in like minutes. It's like, and in my head, it's like, I don't know how I just did that, but it just does. And it's, those are the two. So like if everyone knows, like, don't buy me that. Don't bring in there on the house. Like, but he would bring in the junk food. And I actually told him once, I was like, I feel like you're kind of like sabotaging me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not meaning to. And I go, I get that. But like, now I know from looking back at our marriage, he's just very toxic and he wants you to be where he's at.
That it's very common.
Yeah. And so it's like, I lost a lot of weight when he left. And it's because I'm not getting all those things brought into the house, because you have to think like at this point, you got to trust yourself. So it's like, if you're not bringing them in, then more power to you. Like you got to get everybody in the household on the same page.
Yep.
So,
and you see it happen, right? Like marriages where they were with their partner before surgery and after, it's like a total different person, right? But it's because they've started prioritizing themselves. Like they're saying no to things. And honestly, I don't know if I would have met Lorenzo when I was 300 pounds. Like I'm happy I didn't, because at the same time, it's like I've changed so much as a person. I couldn't imagine having to go through that change as a partner, watching it happen.
Yeah, because I told them, like, I know it's hard for you at partner level. Like, that's got to be hard to watch us change and we become kind of different. And we are very, like, at least for me, my confidence went through the roof. I'm saying no to things and I'm saying it with confidence where I'm like, no, like, we're not doing this.
Yep.
And that did affect our marriage because he's a drug addict and he would get me to be okay with it. And I'm like, nah, bitch, this is not okay. Stop acting like it's okay. It's not okay for anybody. So like, cause he knows I like logic and science. And so he would try to be like, well, it's once every few months. So it's not that big of a deal. I can stop whenever. And I'm like, but you technically haven't stopped. You just plan it.
You plan when you're doing it. Yeah.
Are you way more responsible about it? Yes, but it's a slippery slope. And was it a slippery slope? Yes, it was. And it went from just once every 6 months to now it's every day, every week. It's a fucking cycle. It's like, no, you can't be around us anymore. Like you are toxic on too many levels. And once you get that way with your partner, like you don't have to stay. I think
no,
like that's also the thing that comes with this is that you get the confidence of being like, I want more in life.
Yeah, that happened for a lot of people. I see.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to sit on my couch anymore and just watch TV. I want to go do things. I want to experience life because that's what it's all about.
I tell Lorenzo all the time, like, I love you and I make a choice to have you in my life. I don't like, there's so many people that like depend on their partner and stuff. I'm like, I feel good with myself and this would not have been me at 300 pounds. I feel secure in myself enough that like being with you is a choice I'm making.
Yeah, it's a choice that you make every single day. Well, on this show, we before we wrap up, we always talk about the NSVs. And I know that you've actually hit a few as we've been talking. But I love to like show people because the scale's going to stop, right? Yeah. If you're not a bodybuilder playing with it, it's going to stop. So what are some of the things that you've gone through that are like, yay, like this could never have happened if I didn't lose the weight?
I remember I did CrossFit for a bit.
Okay.
I always wanted to do like a CrossFit class. I always felt like I was like, I could never do it. And I went and did it for a few months. That was a big one.
Oh, that's so cool.
No longer having to shop at a plus size store. That was a huge one. But you know what? This is one I just like reflecting on, like, what are they? This is one I wouldn't even have considered until now. When photos are taken of me at like a wedding event, I don't want to hide. I don't look at it and go, ugh. Like you don't cringe. Like that was a big one. I like liked having my photo taken again. It's funny because when I look back on my journey or like when I had to find stuff for summer shredding, I couldn't find any photos or videos because I was like, I deleted it. I didn't want to remember those memories because I wasn't happy.
That's a really good one though, because like I haven't heard that one before, but that's all of us are like, as you're saying, like, oh yeah, like I'm more like, you know, like I'm more about it. Like I want to be in there. Like I'm making goofy faces and having fun. Like that's what you like. You don't care about what you look like anymore because you're comfortable with what you look like. So now you can be like 100% you, which is so fun. I love that for you. So what is the last thing that I'm going to ask you before we go is what is the tip that you would give you at the very beginning if you could? God.
Like when she just had surgery?
Or even like about to have surgery, what would you have told younger Jessica?
I think I would have said it's going to be hard, but everything will be worth it. Like, do not be scared that you will fuck it up, that it will go wrong, that it will fail. It is going to be okay. It is going to be hard, but everything will be worth it. And this, like, where you think you're going to be, you're going to go even beyond that. Like, yeah.
I love that, guys. You heard it from her. Like, it's going to be hard, but that's so, so fucking worth it. And I couldn't express that even more because I wouldn't be talking to you today if I didn't have surgery.
Yeah, you know? Right? Like, I wouldn't have met all these amazing people.
Yeah, like, that's a huge non-scale victory right there. I have more friends across the nation now than I've ever had in my life because I was like, you know what? I need to fucking do this and get healthy. And now I get to talk to all these cool people, and it's nice to like know that like, hey, like you guys are still like doing the damn thing and it's working, because I know there's a collective people online that just think that we're lazy, we're dumb, it's the easy way out.
We cheated.
Yep. You're just going to gain it all back again. There's the fucking haters, but no, we're here. Damn it. We're going to shine. We have Just Be You next year, number 4 for the awards to celebrate us, because there's just too much hate on this like weight loss section of the world. It's like, it's like, calm your shits. Like, there's so many more things to be worried about. Like, come on. So I just love that you are vulnerable and sharing your story, because not everybody is comfortable doing that. So thank you so much, Jessica. And lastly, guys, you know this. Get that damn water in. Protein. You need to move your body. You need to do therapy, and you need to get really good sleep. And the last thing is vitamins, guys. You guys know it. I use ProCare. I even stopped for a little bit to look at other companies, and I'm back, baby, because this is literally the best. Use the code OSLP. You're going to get 15% off. And lastly, don't be an asshole to one another. Have a great week, guys. Give us a check-in if you need anything. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into Our Sleep Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.